Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Summer is approaching in fits and starts this year. Yes, there was a bit of frost on the ground in spots yesterday morning, but Sunday should be sunny and in the 70s. And for a lot of people, a summer barbecue isn't complete without beer. Greater Boston is a great place for beer lovers. We've got Harpoon Brewery and Trillium Brewing in the Seaport District, Jack's Abbey Brewing in Framingham, Idle Hands Crafts Ales in Everett, the Blue Hills Brewery in Canton, and that's just a sampling. In Jamaica Plain is the largest, longest-running craft brewer in the U.S., Boston Beer Company, maker of the famous Sam Adams Boston Lager. This year, Boston Beer Company is celebrating its 30th anniversary, and Radio Boston's Meghna Chakrabarty visited the brewery to learn its history.
So this isn't really so much a story about beer.
Ah, it's good.
As it is about a billionaire.
There's nothing like the first pull off a fresh keg at the brewery where it was made.
Ah. This is Jim Cook, founder and CEO of Boston Beer Company, and this is how he started this day at the company's Jamaica Plain Brewery, sampling the latest batch of Sam Adams.
Yeah, you still taste a sample of every batch of every beer that we make. So I have a good job.
And have you ever encountered batches where you stopped it from going out?
Oh, yeah. Not often, but enough, you know, to feel like I'm doing something useful when I'm, you know, drinking 20 beers at work.
So at first, I thought Cook's effervescent charm and hops and yeast-infused sense of humor comes from the fact that, yes, this guy really loves beer. But it's more than that. Cook loves making beer.
I feel like Willy Wonka. This is the chocolate factory.
Oompa, oompa, doompa-dee-doo. I've got a perfect puzzle for you.
He's an unrelenting perfectionist who, even after three decades, pays close attention to every palette of product that leaves his brewery. That level of craft has made Cook the billionaire head of a large publicly traded company today, but more than 30 years ago, he was something decidedly different. He'd come from a long line of Midwestern brewers, but Cook attended Harvard University instead and went on to a high-flying job at a Boston consulting firm. That is, until 1983, when he decided to trade in his six-figure salary for a dusty old Cook family beer recipe.
When I told my father that I wanted to leave this good job that I had and start a small brewery, I thought, you know, he'll like put his arm around me. Oh, that's great. You're going back into the family business. We have six generations. I thought it was going to die, you know, but now you're going to revive it. Oh, it's so great. It didn't happen that way. He looked at me and said, Jim, you've done some stupid things in your life. That's just about the stupidest.
And can you really blame him? I mean, six figures in the early 80s was a lot of money. And Cook's father, Charles, knew firsthand what Jim would be up against, namely the beer behemoths such as Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis. Charles Cook graduated from Brewmaster School in Chicago in 1948, but he left the business as consolidation meant that there were only a few big, viable beer companies left. And those breweries were producing millions of barrels of what Americans wanted then, namely pale lager.
I was able to explain to him, I'm not going to compete with the big guys. They're good at what they do. They make fine beer, you know, just like McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's make fine food. You're going to get something that meets your expectations 100% of the time. That's great. They're good at that. I can't make beer that way. I can't make beer that cheaply. I can't make it that efficiently. But what I can do is make a different kind of beer. I can make a gourmet meal instead of fast food.
Now, since Cook was once a consultant, he can appreciate that in today's business parlance, we describe his revelation as having found a profitable niche in the beer space. But back in 1983, there were no guarantees that it would work. Still, he sold his dad on the idea. So the elder cook climbed up the attic stairs, dusted off an old trunk, and unearthed an 1870s beer recipe from Cook's great-great-grandfather.
So I took the recipe and actually went to a homebrew supply store, which was in the back of a canoe store in Framingham.
It was February 1983. Jim Cook makes his first batch of what would become Sam Adams Boston Lager in his kitchen.
The kitchen was full of steam, this beautiful hop aroma. This is going to be packed with flavor.
Cook still waxes romantic when talking about that first batch of beer. But after those initial tastes, he had a bigger problem on his hands. What to call it?
A brewer, a patriot, a revolutionary. It had to be Sam Adams.
Yeah.
Something that was against all odds. And, you know, little Samuel Adams, the beer, was meant to maybe spark that same kind of revolution in American brewing, largely against, you know, these huge, huge companies that even today are hundreds of times my size.
Armed with cases of his new beer, Jim set out.
There were five distributors in Boston selling beer, and they all turned me down. So I had to put blue cold packs in my briefcase every morning, and I'd put six or eight beers in there and a sleeve of cups and become a beer salesman. And that was a little bit scary because, you know, I mean, honestly, I got these 3 degrees from Harvard. I had this fancy consulting job, and I never actually sold anything. And you had to be at least half crazy. It was a very difficult environment. You know, bars didn't want your beer. People were shocked that you were going to charge that much money for an American beer.
Well, I mean, you were charging what? Like a couple dollars more than even the imports, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what was your pitch to bars when you went around and said, hey, look, here's a domestic beer that I'm going to ask you to pay even more for than a Heineken?
It was simple. Taste it.
It seems so obvious now, especially in New England, where just about every bar seems to have a couple, if not dozens, of craft beers on tap. But in 1983, when Cook was making his first sales calls, serving anything other than Budweiser, Miller, or Coors was virtually unthinkable.
People would go, oh, you know, kid, I liked your story. I mean, I was 35 years old. People would say, kid, I liked your story, but I didn't think the beer was going to be this good. This is really good. I'll take a couple of cases. So that's what sold it.
Yeah. Why did you stick with it through the first, you know, year or so?
Because it's what I wanted to do. That was my passion. I mean, it was, I had no doubts. I mean, I have to be, you know, totally honest. There were no times where I was like, why am I doing this? Or should I go back to my old job? I never looked back. It was hard, but it was fun.
Jim Cook officially founded Boston Beer Company in 1984. And after 30 years of hard work, more sales calls, marketing pushes, and tinkering virtually every day with new recipes, his success is undeniable. Craft beer still occupies a relatively small 6.5% of the overall American beer market. But perhaps ironically, within that small slice, Jim Cook is now the big brewer in the room. Some tiny craft brewers may look at him the way Cook himself looks at, say, Anheuser-Busch. That's because Boston Beer Company produces around 2.5 million barrels of beer every year. And while the National Brewers Association changed its definition of craft brewers 3 years ago, tripling the maximum number from 2 million to 6 million barrels a year, some smaller brewers say that's too large to be considered craft.
Is it really a craft brewery if you're pushing out several million a year?
Well, if you're making the exact same beer in the exact same way with the exact same ingredients, did it change because, you know, you went from this number to a little bit higher number? I mean, to me, the essence of craft beer is about the passion you put into it, the nature and the quality of the ingredients, the refusal to compromise. And you also have to keep it all in context. Nobody really understands how small Sam Adams is. If you ask people, what market share do you think Sam Adams has? People say 5%, 10%, 25%. when I tell them, no, after 30 years, we finally got to 1%, and I'm proud of that. We finally got to small. We used to be infinitesimal.
So if there's still the 99% of the rest of the beer market.
I will be really happy when we get to 2. It took me 30 years to get to 1. If it takes another 30 years to get to 2, so be it.
How much can you scale what you do up and still maintain the quality and spirit of what Boston Beer Company is?
I really don't think there is a practical limit. I mean, could we be 50%? Who cares? Who knows? Because it'll never happen. There's kind of a misconception about scale and quality, because as you grow, you should be able to improve the quality of your product. The Sam Adams we make today is noticeably better than the Sam Adams that we made 30 years ago. You know, we have access to the very best hops. 30 years ago, I took what I could get. Mm-hmm. Any brewer will tell you that. If you say, well, if you were 2 or 3 times your size, would your beer be better? And a brewer will say, oh, yeah. You know, if I got bigger, I could have better ingredients. I could have better equipment than I currently have. I could have tighter control of the process. I could make a better beer.
I'm not hoping this happens anytime soon. What happens when you step down? Do you think Boston Beer Company is set up for continued success even after you're not at the helm of it?
Well, I have a succession plan, and it has worked flawlessly every day for 30 years. Don't die.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much, and happy 30th anniversary of Sam
Cheers.
Adams.
It's nice having a beer with you in the morning.
And with that, Jim Cook once again displays the core enthusiasm that's propelled him these last 30 years. He asks me some questions about my taste in beer, listens intently, then suddenly gets up saying, "You might have just given me an idea," and disappears back into the brewery.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
That was Jim Cook, the founder and CEO of Boston Beer Company, and Meghna Chakrabarty paid a visit to Jim's operation in its 30th year. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll hear about the new Diane Paulus production. She's helped put together a Cirque du Soleil event happening on Boston Waterfront. It opened last night. Also later in the show, words of wisdom from some of this year's Harvard commencement speakers. We'll have excerpts from Mindy Kaling, from Michael Bloomberg, the former New York City mayor, and also Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote the best-selling book Lean In. That's all ahead. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.
Anything you want to do it, want to change the world.